So our first reading today is Psalm 15, which can be found on page 549 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose way of life is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Main reading for today is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. It's from page 1196. So it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Let me pray before we look at this passage. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that in your word we learn about Jesus Christ. Thank you that through him we have a way to relate with you and call you Abba Father and come before you. Even today we pray that you would help us to know your word better so we'd serve and worship Christ better. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So before I came to Dagenham, I work with university students in Manchester. Some students like to wear fake designer shoes. So, you know, shoes that look exactly like the original shoes. But the student has brought it for 1/10 of the price. Therefore, they are very happy to have something that is less obvious to differentiate from the original. However, these international students are not all the time happy when it is difficult to differentiate between what is fake and what is true. Some international students have talked about fake doctors who had no medical qualifications but were allowed to start medical clinics in their home country. Others, like Chinese students, have talked about fake baby food products in Chinese markets that cannot be differentiated from the original products. At these times, when things are not so obvious, it can have serious consequences, some to the extent of being a matter of life and death. When it comes to churches, it is also not so obvious which church is headed by false teachers and which church hold on to the teachings of Jesus from the Bible. There could be many reasons to it, but partly it is because no church leader is going to walk around wearing a sandwich board around their necks with words written on it, "I'm a false teacher of the Bible." They all will have some form of religious appearance, whether in terms of wearing long religious robes, doing chanting, burning incense, carrying out fasting, have titles that say they are pastors, they are evangelists, they are bishops. They have even written popular Christian books and preach on televisions and get millions of views on social media. Most of the time, it is difficult to figure out whether a church leader is a false teacher of the Bible, isn't it? In today's Bible passage, Paul is helping Timothy, a young Bible teacher and a church leader, to understand the times he is living in and the kind of not so obvious people he needs to avoid in order to preserve the people who are under his care and until the Lord comes back. From Paul's teaching, we too can understand who we need to associate with and who we need to avoid. I have divided today's passage into two sections, which you can see on the screen. So from verse 1, you can see we live in terrible times. That's my first point. And the second point is, have nothing to do with certain people. That's from verse 5. So let's look at the first point. We live in terrible times. So today's passage starts with the word "but." So it is connected to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is all about false Bible teachers. But in verse 25 and 26, Paul gives Timothy a level of hope. He says in verse 25 and 26, if you look down, he says, "Opponents must be greatly, gently instructed with the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth." In verse 26, he says that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Paul has given hope for Timothy, the Bible teacher, that through the proclamation of the Bible teachings and the correction of error, false teaching, false teachers, and those poor souls who are under their spell may be granted repentance. While this hope remains valid, Timothy must be realistic. It is uncertain, and it's not knowable from a human perspective if God will surely grant these people repentance or not. What is knowable and what is certain is Timothy is living in terrible times, and these terrible times will come. So, what does Paul mean in verse 1 when he says, "Live in the last days"? So there will be terrible times in the last days. In the New Testament, the term "last days" was used to describe the entire period after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, till the second coming of Jesus. So we are in the last days now, just as early church believer like Timothy was in the last days. So for example, in verse 5, Paul tells to Timothy, "You need to do this in these times." So Timothy lived in the last days. And we also live in the last days, for we live before the second coming of Jesus. Normally, from our understanding, from other passages in the Bible that teaches us about last days, we might start to think Paul is going to warn us about calamities like famine and earthquakes and war. However, if you look closely, what makes these times more difficult than any other time? From verse 2 onwards, he's going to talk about people. And he talks about people, and he lists 18 different traits of these people in verses 2 to 5. Paul starts the list by stating these people will be lovers of themselves. It is good to point out at this point that Paul is not talking about self-care. Bible teachers, Christians need to seek God's help and meditate on what is good for their mental well-being. Also, we as Christians are called to develop healthy habits to take good care of our physical and spiritual well-being. What the Bible passage here is referring is to those who are self-centered, you know, those who are selfish, being self-focused, narcissist. Yeah, at this point, when you think about it, we think these are going to be people who are there out there in the society. They're not part of the church. Will Storr, a secular writer, has written a book called Selfie, where he says that the current Western generation has become so self-centered. He's not a Christian, but he's talking about the Western society. He's saying the current generation has become so self-centered. And people who have researched about the pop songs that's written in the few decades, they were talking about 90s and 2000. They say that the most common word in the pop songs in 90s and 2000 is the word you. But from 2010 onwards, what is the most common word used is me. Yeah, I and me, that's the most common word. I'm the problem, it's me. So you have songs like this where all the time people talk about self. But that's not what Paul is talking here. He's not talking about Timothy, just be careful about the people out there in the society. That's not what he's saying. All he's saying is there is a lot more to think about. So he's saying, along with being lovers of themselves, he's saying these peoples are also lovers of money and lovers of pleasure. So if you can read from verses 2 to 5, you can see those. They're not only lovers of themselves, but they are also lovers of money and lovers of pleasure. And this trinity of love, what does it do to these people? It conquers their hearts, and they become, if you look at verse 3 and 4, then they become people who do not love anything that is good. And they become people who do not love God. They don't want to be lovers of God. So what kind of people do they end up being? They're being people who are boastful, they are proud, they're abusive, they're disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, treacherous, rash, conceited. Okay, Paul has given quite a lot of list of qualities to identify these people. So in some sense, it might look like, okay, Paul, yeah, Timothy might be saying, I might be able to spot these people. However, there was one more thing that Paul mentioned that makes it less obvious to spot these people. If you see that in verse 5, it says, they will have a form of godliness. So from their long religious robes they wear, from the way they pray in public, from the way they walk piously during church services, because of these outward appearance of piety and religious practices, it becomes very less obvious to detect, like fake doctors or fake milk products. It's very hard to detect these people or bad people. That is why Paul says in verse 6 that they are able to worm their way into homes and gain control of certain people who are weak and vulnerable. So in the first century, Christian believers met in people's houses. They never met in buildings like how we do in Dagenham Parish Church. So these people who look very religious go around and knock the doors of houses where Christian believers meet, probably on days other than the day when everyone along with church leaders meet. So for clarity, let me give you an illustration. For example, we at Dagenham Parish Church, we meet on Sundays as a church family along with church leaders. During the week, maybe on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon church believer who looks very godly might come and invite you for a Bible study. It's something like that. Similarly, in this Bible passage, probably like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday when church leaders and many other believers are not around, these godly-looking people worm their way into houses where Christians meet and gain control over weak and vulnerable people. If you see in verse 6, it says they gain control over weak-willed women. Now probably that is what was happening during Timothy's time. But the truth is, anyone can fall prey to these godly-looking people. In verse 6, because Paul uses the word, these people gain control, we can understand these people like to exercise leadership and influence over people who go to churches. If they enter Christian churches or Christian family homes, there will be people who will be willing to listen to them. These kind of godly people are the ones who make the last days terrible. Paul is saying, you live in terrible days. Nowadays, these godly men don't need to do it by physically visiting houses. They can do it via television and social media. That's a lot easier to gain attention and control over certain people. So, for instance, in India, the visual culture is quite big. I'm from India, and back in 2010, whenever I visited a Christian family home, my laptop is not working that well. Back in 2010, whenever I visited a Christian family home, in the background, they will always have a television on. And what runs on the television normally is news or sports or movie. That's what's on display. I left India in 2010. Then when I went back to India last year and I visited Christian family homes, the televisions were still running in the background. But I saw no one was watching news or sports or movies. Everyone had TV channels in the background on which prosperity preachers were teaching from Bible night and day. Paul says these leaders worm their way into believers' houses. How does Paul want Timothy to respond to these religious leaders? How should we as Christian leaders and believers respond to such religious leaders? That is what we'll look at in our second point. Have nothing to do with certain people. So you can look down in verse 5, it says, have nothing to do with such people. It's quite shocking, isn't it? Imagine a church where the leader is called all the congregation together. And he's saying is, from today onwards, we on a congregation are never going to get involved in any way with this false teacher. That's quite unloving, isn't it? One church leader trying to not associate with another church leader. Is it a personality problem? He can't walk along with all the other church leaders. Is that the problem? A lot of church people might just walk away from that denomination and from such local churches. It's not something comfortable for church leaders to do. But that's what Paul is asking Timothy to do. He's saying, Timothy, you're a church leader, and this is what you're supposed to do. Have nothing to do with such people. You live in terrible times. Why do we have this command? It is because these people stand in opposition to God's truth. We see that in verse 8. In the same verse, Paul gives an example of Moses, who was facing opposition from Jannes and Jambres. So the name Jannes and Jambres are not there in the Bible. However, Bible scholars say Jannes and Jambres are Egyptian religious leaders and magicians. Now Moses brought the word from God. He was a true messenger from God. God gave him a word to go and meet the Egyptian Pharaoh and say to the Egyptian Pharaoh that God wants his people out of slavery. Moses was called to say, God wants his people to live under his rule in another place. So Moses brought these words of God to say to the Egyptian Pharaoh. But these Egyptian magicians or religious leaders then opposed Moses. And why do they do it? It's primarily because they were on the side of Egyptian Pharaoh. But also they want to stand in opposition to the truth that came from God. That is the same with certain Bible teachers and Christian leaders of Timothy's time. That is the same with certain Bible teachers and religious leaders of our times. They stand along Satan's side and want to oppose what Jesus desires to do for his people. So from the Bible passage, we can start to understand, even within Christian circles, there can be people working in opposition to God. That being said, if every Christian leader looks godly on the outside, how can someone spot a false teacher and avoid him? So in verse 5 it says they have a form of godliness, but Paul gives a hint to Timothy, but they will deny its power. So if you go home and read the earlier chapters, you will see in the first chapter, verse 8, the power of God was linked to suffering. So Paul is saying, if you have the power of God, you will be able to suffer, Timothy, for doing what Jesus has asked you to do and fulfill your calling. That was what happened to Paul. Paul was a follower of Jesus and a Bible teacher. He had been arrested and put in prison for following Jesus. Paul understands every believer should be willing to do what Jesus calls them to do and be willing to suffer for Jesus. That's what Timothy was also called to do. Maybe these Bible teachers look godly, but they denied the Christian teaching that followers of Jesus should be willing to suffer by the power of God. Maybe they say Paul is not a true follower of Jesus. Look, if he is a true messenger, then God would have saved him from going into a prison. If God's power is operating along with Paul, how come he's suffering and being in prison? That's their argument. And what happens, as in chapter 1, it says that many have deserted Paul and the Christian teaching. However, Paul wants Timothy to guard this Christian teaching, that every Christian should be willing to suffer by the power of God. So if someone says, if you follow Jesus, you will always have health and wealth. You will never face suffering in life. That obviously is the first red flag that this false teaching, and it's not there in the Bible, but it teaches just the opposite. Every Christian believer, we will see in next week that Paul says every Christian believer should be willing to suffer for the gospel. And this is not only relevant to suffering, but it's also applicable to any core teaching in the Bible. If any Bible teacher denies something Jesus or the apostle taught, local church leaders should not have anything to do with these false teachers. Like I said before, it is not something on the outset that looks comfortable, isn't it? We all want to be very welcoming. We want to be accommodating everyone. And that's generally it. But Paul uses the word, they wormed into houses. Worm sometimes looks very, worms are not something which will really cause you any harm. But imagine you're opening the door and there is a python coming into your house. And you feel like, okay, I want to be welcoming. And you just allow it in. And it just goes and curls on your baby. And it starts gripping your baby more and more. And all you want to do is be welcoming. You don't want to do anything about it. Okay, I want to be a welcoming person because I'm a Christian. What happens to those whom you love? That's what Paul is saying. Be aware of your church, Timothy. You need to love your church. Just avoid certain people. Don't let them into your congregation. And also, it's just not for Timothy, the leader. You can also see that there is something that the churchgoers can also learn. If you look down on verse 6, it says, the kind of churchgoers these false teachers are able to take control. So in verse 6, it says they were able to take control of vulnerable people were loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. So many a times, people can walk into a church and be like these false teachers, just want to show an outward appearance of godliness, but never allow Christ to change our inner being. The teaching of the Bible is that sin affects our inmost beings, our thoughts, and even our heart's desires. A true Christian is someone who seeks the help of Jesus to create a clean heart. A true Christian is someone who allows Jesus to create a form of godliness that just doesn't stop at the outside. Then, if you allow Jesus to empower you in that way, then you can ensure you and your family has nothing to do with false teachers. So to conclude, do you understand what kind of times are we living in? Do you think we live in terrible times? Do you think someone who is speaking from the pulpit, someone who has huge congregations, someone who is quoting from the Bible, can be someone who is a false teacher? And you need to avoid certain people and certain false teachers. Do you know anyone like that? What would it look like for you to avoid these people in person or in social media? Maybe a time will come when we may Maybe a time will come when we may be put to test, just like Timothy. So we need to pray for God will give us the spirit of discernment, the strength to persevere, and to endure suffering if needed, and to be steadfast in our commitment to the teachings that Jesus has given to the apostles. Let us pray. Father God, we are thankful for your word, even though it's not comfortable, even though it's not something we like to do with our personal inclinations, but we pray by your Spirit you would empower us, by your Spirit you would enable us as Christian leaders, but also as Christian members, to know the times that we are living in, to know how to say no to some false teachers, and to live for you, and to lead others in our families and in our churches to the place you're calling us to be for eternity. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.